You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on April 29, 2026, and is titled, Mighty in Your Shoes. So grab your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis, and let's join Steve and the message.
The Lord told me this a long time ago. This is what he said. The lack of rainfall is a spiritual sign of our condition. But only God himself can bring rain, physical or spiritual. But, and I'm going to prove it here in a minute with a scripture, but we can usher it in by the praise of our lips, not by listening to music or being entertained by somebody, but by actually opening our mouths and singing praise. That's an admonishment to some of us. Some of us just like to just listen, and it don't matter if you can't sing a lick. It never says anything about singing on key or singing beautifully. It says, this is what it says. Psalm 67, verse 5, it says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. When we praise, then our earth will yield its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him when we praise the Lord. That's a pretty cut and dry deal. And then in verse 68, this just kind of gives me a little bit of, I just like this. Oh God, you send a plentiful rain whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was parched, when the land was parched. You confirmed your inheritance when the land is parched. I don't know. I think right now we can, let's just rejoice in our inheritance, in his inheritance that we have through him. And he's reminding us of that through our parched land. So I don't think it's a curse. It's something we could use as a blessing. So, but that verse, it says, when we praise, then the increase will come. I believe it. Y'all believe it? Y'all believe what the word says? I do.
Pretty good stuff right there, huh? I don't know about y'all. I needed that. And you know what else I needed? I needed a little admonishment. Anybody around here need a little gentle admonishment through the singing tonight? I do. You know, I was sitting there listening to myself, and you know, it's dry and dusty. You get around the sale barn, you get around a crowd of people in agriculture, and that's the number one thing we talk about. I got a phrase that I use all the time that is going away. Well, I ain't got nothing a good 2-inch rain wouldn't fix. I ain't got nothing a good 2-inch rain wouldn't fix. And the Lord reminded me, standing right over there, that there are people in this room and there are people on the other side of that camera that a 2-inch rain ain't going to fix it. There's a lot of stuff that a 2-inch rain will not fix. And so with my own mouth, I curse my own land. I'll call this place God forsaken. I'll call it windblown and dusty. I'll tell anybody I talk to on the telephone, it looks like the dead of winter. And I'll fail every time to simply acknowledge how great my God is. Because if we can't praise him in the drought, then shame on us for praising him in the Garden of Eden. Me, just me, not y'all. The guy up here at the front is extremely human. The guy up here at the front gets tired of sand blowing in his face. That is not an excuse to forget how great my God is. It's no excuse to become negative, not faithful. The power of my lips bringing more of a curse than a blessing. I know, again, it's just me, not any of y'all. But I heard it, Jim. It was time for a little admonishment. And if we won't take the admonishment, then we're sitting here for nothing. It's all for nothing. If you won't, if you didn't come looking for admonishment, if you don't go into the Word, he said, raise your children in the admonishment of the Lord. That gentle instruction, that bringing them to a place. And this leads me right into what we want to talk about tonight, because tonight is the beginning of a generational disaster. Well, we've not raised our children in the admonishment of the Lord. Where I myself have let more words come out of my mouth, revealing all the things that are wrong and all the negativity, and how that pales those momentary times when I give Jesus Christ all the praise. Yeah, I'm just going to have confession tonight. Sometimes the words of my mouth do not admonish. They don't bring another man closer to Jesus. Sometimes the words of my mouth encourage the negative conversation, encourage looking for every bad thing there is, revealing everything that we don't like. It's a lot easier outside the building. You know, when you're in here tonight, all of us, and Jim and Rhonda get up there and he reads the Bible and gives us a little gentle instruction that, hey, now would be a really good time to praise Jesus. How do we do it, McDonald's? How do we do it, Lee House? How do we do on a day when the wind's blowing 40 miles an hour and you can't see across the street? And then all of a sudden, something comes into your life that a 2-inch rain won't fix. And you won't praise Jesus when you simply just need a 2-inch rain. How's he going to heal our land? And how's he going to heal our bodies? Right up there for the last 12 minutes been some of the best preaching I've heard in 2 months. The most necessary. Because this is who we are. We'll pile up outside this building and there'll be way more cursing than there will be praising if you'll put us in a pile. I'm telling you, me and Dusty Leatherwood can draw the same sorry steer to team roping, and here in a minute we've cursed him, his mother, his father, and all his brothers and sisters, and every man that's owned him. We've cursed them all, ain't we? Yeah, only a few times in my life have I been somewhere that the cattle are so terrible that you can't single out just one. And in those moments, I've caught myself, when people are just try to turn it around a little bit and say, well, praise God for sorry cattle, or we wouldn't be at a team roping. We wouldn't even get to be here if it wasn't for sorry cattle. Turn it around. But I'm just telling you right now today that I have not done my part in the midst of this drought of standing there with sand blowing my face and praising God for it. I've not done a good job. I've not let the overflow of my heart reveal praise to my King and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've diminished the power of God by looking a man in the eye and said, ain't nothing a good 2-inch rain won't fix. No, sir. that's not right. So I just want to tell you that today. You see, I believe if I speak it out of my mouth, I'll remember to do better. And maybe, just maybe, there could be one of you that gets a little trapped up like that, and this will help you too. So anyhow, that's all I got on that. Turn in your Bibles right quick, and we're going to whip through this. It's a good story. Y'all have been anticipating Noah getting drunk and naked. Man, we've been in high anticipation of this segment of the story. So over here in Genesis 9, we're going to start in verse 18. It says, "Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan." These three, now see, here's what's kind of funny. Just some little observations. Right here in the middle of this, Ham is the youngest brother, but he's going to jerk him out of the sentence and tell you ahead of time that he is the father of Canaan. That's important. It's important. So he says, these three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth populated. So do you realize that your genealogy lies right here in chapter 9? So you can do one of them things on the internet, but they won't. They won't go all the way back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You have to go to the Word of God to get the whole story. And so he says, and Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. And then he drank of the wine and was drunk. See, if you're going to be a farmer, you should maybe plant some different stuff, you know? Maybe cannabis ain't that great of an idea. And he said, then he drank of the wine and he got drunk and he became uncovered. Does everybody understand that uncovered is naked? He's still in his tent. He's kind of minding his own business. And Ham, once again, the father of Canaan, he was father of many others. We'll read that here in a minute. But now two times in just a little smattering of words, Ham, the father of Canaan, twice. Then he says, he saw the nakedness of his brother and his father, and told his two brothers outside. Okay, here's the deal. He walked in there, maybe it was by accident, maybe not. Maybe he thought maybe dad was asleep. I did this once when I was a kid, thought my dad wasn't looking. So I cracked into the family wine. Maybe old Ham was just wanting a swig, who knows. But when he got in there, he's naked. You know what he could have done? Could have kept his mouth shut. He could have kept his mouth shut. But all of a sudden, he's got something to tell. Wait a minute, I'm going to go slow right here so some of this may settle in the midst of a society that's got AI and Facebook, and I mean, we got it all, Insta-Google, we've got it. All he had to do was just keep his mouth shut. He went outside, had something to tell, and he dishonored his father. Well, you know, one of the things that we've lost in America, or probably across the globe, I can't speak for anybody else, I don't think we understand the importance of sons and their fathers. In America today, I don't think fathers understand the importance of their sons, and where that's conveyed into the importance of sons and their fathers. I know I missed it. I know late in life, way late in life, I had to reconcile some things. even without results. You know, when you do everything you can to tell your dad you love him, but just waiting to hear it back. Stuff like that. Not knowing how to fix it, not knowing how to make things right, but knowing the whole time that there's something wrong. Even if we can't get everything on earth reconciled into perfection according to our own thinking, I not only have an earthly father, but I have a heavenly father. I have a heavenly father who's accessible. I have a heavenly father who knows every jot and tittle of my life and loves me amazingly anyhow. I have a father who will listen. I have a father who will discipline. I have a father who will admonish. I have a father that'll set me down and pick me up, guide my steps, speak when I'm working my way through life, whether I turn to the left or the right, walk this way. I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible outside of our Heavenly Father to truly, truly reconcile things here on earth. I think we can apologize. I think we can get along. But I think it's only through the blood of Jesus that things get reconciled completely in the heavenly realm. It's the only way to find true peace. And the understanding of that, that father-son relationship. And right here it got broken. And a great example for everybody. Go home and study the lineages of Ham. But you'll see here, and I've taught it wrong. I've spoke it wrong. I hadn't really taught it. I spoke it wrong. God didn't curse Ham. He cursed Canaan. If you'll catch that, then things that are happening right under your nose today, things that people in high places want to argue about, church leaders, political leaders across the globe that end up wrong on all fronts because they don't understand this part right here. They didn't go to Genesis 9 to figure it out. He cursed Canaan. He cursed the lineage of Canaan. So watch this. He said, so he woke from the wine, and he knew his younger son had done this to him, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be, he shall be to his brethren. That's Japheth and Shem. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. Now, don't just take that first swing tonight. Go home and read that once a week for the next 52 weeks. And some of that will begin to make sense. And so when Noah lived after the flood 350 years. He's already 600. I mean, that old bugger been here about long enough. So all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. You know something I got thinking about right there? We went through this where they lived and lived and lived and lived and then they died. I wonder, at age 700, if you begin to think you're never going to die. I mean, crud, he had 250 years to go yet. That's how long we've been a nation. That's 100 years after the boat ride. Yeah, I wonder if he thought, I'm never going to die. Do you know today with a lifespan that ranges anywhere from 120 down, there are people everywhere that we encounter every day that live just like they're never going to die. If you can't consider the end, you're not going to see the importance of the now. If you can't see the end, you might miss what's so important about what you leave behind. So much of our Christianity wants us to be mighty in our own shoes. Some of us are so Christian, we can't get past our shoelaces. I'll show you something here in just a minute. We're all going to die. All we continue to live, but this old tent right here is going away. Some of us get up in the morning, brush our teeth, and you can tell that your tent just not quite what it was back in the days. Yeah, well, that's the process of life. That's how that's going to go. But here's where we lost our perspective, I think. Christianity all got about where you go after you die. Not about what you leave in the earth. That generational integrity that God intended for those in the blessed line of Shem. Even Japheth, the tribes of Japheth would find their way into the blessings of Shem. But the Canaanites were destined to be slaves of Israel. Prophesied in the very beginning, before any of us was ever a good idea even. But we made it so much about being mighty in your own shoes on your way to heaven that we might have missed the most important part of fathers, sons, generations. But if you'll leave this building today, something I've stood on, harped on, taught on, can just talk about it. I can just talk about it forever. Y'all know I can. Somewhere along the way, we decided that the promise made to Abraham was no longer important to Christianity. It was not palatable. I teach better on the promise than anybody I've ever heard in my Christian life. I listen for it with both ears. I've listened to the big dogs totally butcher it, turn the promise of Abraham into a money pocketing scheme like they do everything else. Totally miss the promise. Teach it by the letter day after day after day, 9 days a week. See how full we are? Not interested. Because the promise comes with responsibility. The promise comes with responsibility for how this goes after you're gone. The promise comes with a skin in the game here in the earth. Then nobody wants to hear that. We want to get together one day a week. We want to enjoy the trappings of our Christian faith. I promise you, if I could get the Murphs to come up here every Wednesday night and do at least 6 songs, if I'd keep my messages down to a place where you knew you were blessed by being here. If I'd get y'all up here to the front and God would begin to just work you over, heal your bodies, do all the stuff. In 2 months, this place will be overflowing. Done been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. Be overflowing. We did it. Billy Graham filled football stadiums for decades. So why are some of those children and their children still living in their mother's basement? What came out? Everybody got so heaven bound and mighty in their own shoes that they weren't able to walk past their shoelaces, pray past their shoelaces. We live in a whole world that speaks just like what I was talking about. We're negative, we're all this and that, then the church is full of compromise. How did the United States of America come to a place where you just took sanctity of marriage, the one thing that Jesus said represents the church, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22. That one thing, and you're in the United States Supreme Court with scriptures all over the building that they're sitting in.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.